Hey, today is Wednesday, November 13th. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Chaf, middle of Parshas Vayera. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Parshat Vayera, Bereshit, Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf. Okay, so last week we read the Rambam as to how the Rambam interprets the phrase in Pasuk Yutet, V'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. And today we're going to continue, now that God has said, I cannot do anything to Sodom unless I first share my intentions with Grandpa Abe, now the Torah will tell us what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avram and how he responds to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's where we're up to. Perek Pasuk Chaf. Vayomer Hashem. God says to Avraham, Za'akat Sidom Va'amora, the wailing, the screaming of the people of Sodom and Amorah, ki rabba. Very difficult phrase to translate. Ki rabba. How is the art scroll translated? Ki rabba.
Has become great.
Okay, has become great. Vichatatam, and their transgression, ki kavda me'od. Their transgressions have become what? Very grave, very serious. Okay. Erdona, I'm going to go down ve'ere, and I want to see it myself. Haktza'akata haba'a elai, the screaming that is directed to me, asu kala. How do they translate that? Asukala?
Ben destruction.
What?
Ben destruction.
Eli Asu? What does that mean? Asukala, then destruction? Okay. A little unusual. Okay. V'imlo Eida'a. And if not, I will know. Well, it's a very bizarre phrase. Okay, it doesn't say anything. This is the first time we know that people are complaining. Correct. This is the first time that we know. And truth be told, normally HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes decisions about someone, whether the victims are screaming to God or not. If the perpetrator is guilty of a crime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about it, obviously, and can make a decision. It looks like that the reason why God is responding is not necessarily because of what? Because of the perpetrator, but rather of what? The agony of the victim. That's what's troubling HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything else. Za'akat Sidom Va'amora. So we have to see what exactly this pasuk is trying to teach me. What? Of course.
Where do we have that?
Why does he have to go down?
Where do we have that other? Excuse me. Somewhere else. I'm going to go down to see. Is it with
the Migdal Bavel in Parshas Noah? We learned about it. Yes, but there it says Ner Dono. God spoke to his cohort angels. It says, so here it says, Erda, I'm going. That's a good question.
But Rabbi, I have one.
Yes.
Hashem isn't saying he heard the smack. He's using it as teaching to Abraham, like Kol Dmei Achicha Tzoakim Alai.
Right.
It's part of the communication with man to explain his actions. It's not, that's how I got the information. And if you're asking the question, why does Hashem have to go down?
Right.
So this is his explanation as opposed to his action.
his explanation as to why.
This is part of talking to Abraham, right?
Yes. Correct.
It's just like teaching Cain when he says, "Cold man," I think that's what he.
Right.
That's not how he knew that Cain killed him.
Right.
So this is part of the instruction to Abraham. So in the instruction, you don't just destroy, you go, you check. Right? It's not
good.
That he had to do it.
Good. Very good. 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 But you can see it's kind of difficult, and we require a lot of salt and pepper to see what in the world is happening here. What the world is happening to. So, so if you'll take our handout for just a moment. Actually, we always start with Rashi first. So let's start with Rashi. Vayomer Hashem El Avraham, because why Rashi has to tell us this is because the text doesn't say who God is speaking to. Doesn't say it. All it says up until now, you know what? God was speaking to himself. Would I ever destroy Sodom and Amorah without first telling it to Avraham? And then, once he mentioned the word Avraham, he went off on a tangent and said something positive about Avraham. Which tells us, why do I think that I should not destroy anything unless I first share it with Avraham? But no place does it indicate that God actually spoke to Avraham yet. So in theory, it should have said, Vayomer Hashem El Avraham. Because up until now, God was only speaking to himself. He had not yet addressed Avraham. So Rashi tells us, even though the text doesn't say it, but it appears that way, that he is now directly talking to Avraham. And that's what Rashi adds. El Avraham. She'asa, God now implements, Ka'asher Omar, as he said to himself, Shelo Yechase Mimenu, that I, God, will not withhold this information from Avraham. That's the simple reading. Okay. Good. Now Rashi attacks the phrase Ki Rabba. Rabba. Says Rashi, Kol Rabba Shebimikra Hata'am Limata Bebet. Every time that the word Rabba appears in the text, the emphasis, the trup, is not on the bet, but rather on what? Normally it's on the bet. Rabba. Rabba. Lefi shehein miturgamin gidola. O gidola v'holechet. Rabba means something that is large, great, big, gidola, or something that is in the process of growing. Avozeh ta'amo lemala bereish. Here, you cannot read the text when you read the Sefer Torah, Za'akat Sodom v'Amorah ki rabba. You have to say ki rabba, emphasis on the reish. Lefi shemiturgam gadla kivar. It's not that it's what? Unfolding. It happened already. So, it's the same word. But if you emphasize the first syllable, it means past tense. If you emphasize the second syllable, it means present tense, unfolding as we speak. That's why sometimes people in the shul go a little crazy when people read the Torah and they don't read it properly. They don't read it properly. And that's a problem. Right? Sometimes people's phrasing is an indication that they have no idea what they're saying. Or they're not paying. They can read the word correctly. Every single Shabbos, this chews my ear off. Utfilatam mehera behava tekabel beratzon. Utehi l'ratzon tamid avodat Yisrael amecha. That's the correct way to say it. Utehi l'ratzon tamid. It shall be forever pleasing unto me. What shall be forever pleasing unto me? Avodat Yisrael amecha. The service of Am Yisrael, your nation. Half the people who daven say, Utehi l'ratzon tamid avodat. Then, comma, Yisrael Amecha. It just bothers the daylight out of me. Yeah. Or some guy said on Yontif, and it happens too many times. Right? Kakasu b'sorasecha, shalosh pa'amim bashana, v'sham na'aleh, v'ne'ra'el afanecha b'shalosh pa'amei rigolenu. Three times a year we will go to the Beit HaMikdash. This guy keeps saying raglenu. And I told him already twice. You daven nicely, but you can't say raglenu. You know, it's just crazy. What? I know, but I'm attuned to it. It just drives my ear crazy. So here, it has to be kirabba. It's not that God is going down to see and judge. Oh, let me just evaluate the situation. I know how terrible it is. It's been terrible. So I'm just going to go down, and Rashi will explain. So what does he have to go down for? He knows. It's kirabba. V'chatatam, says Rashi, But what does it say? V'chatatam ki kavda me'od. And I noticed as well that their sin, their transgression, is very heavy. Now, Rambam makes an incredible observation on the word ki rabba. Ki rabba. He makes a credible observation as to how God makes his decision about each and every one of us and about each and every country. If you'll take the source sheet for a minute and look at page number one, it's again a time where the Rambam cites a pasuk. And it's our pasuk and how he comes to a conclusion based on it. So the Rambam writes, I bracketed for you, it's Paragimel of Hilchot Tshuva Halacha Bet. Adam she'avonotav mirubin al zichuyotav. A person whose transgression outweighs his merits. Miyad hu meit birisho. The person will die soon, quickly, as a result of what? Of his inappropriate behavior. Shine'emar al rov avonecha. Based on the majority of the fact that the majority of your actions are avonot. V'chein medina, same thing, an entire country. She'avonoteha mirubin, whose transgressions outnumber their merits. Miyad hi ovedet. Shine'emar za'akat sidom va'amora. Ki rabba. How does God come to a decision about Sodom and Amora? Because their transgressions outnumber their zichuyot. V'chein kol ha'olam kulo. Im avonotehem mirubin mizichiyotehen. Miyad hein nishchatin. How do I know that all of the entire world, if their transgressions outnumber their zichuyot, they are destroyed right away. Shine emar, it's the end of Parshat Bereshit. Vayar Hashem, ki rabba ra'ata adam. God noticed that what? That the transgression, the bad things about mankind were rabba, were more than what? Then they're good things. How is that, Debbie? How is that translation again about the word ki rabba that has? How did They are great. Right. Rambam doesn't talk about, because the word rabba can be great. Rambam translates the word from rabba as rove, majority. Ki rabba, the number, it's not just that it's great. The number has exceeded the zechuyot. But Rambam, hold on a second. Rambam adds something very, very important in the next line. V'shikul zeh eino lefi minyan hazechiyot va'avonot. The balancing act, the decision on my scale, has nothing to do with numbers. Nothing to do with numbers. Ela lefi godlam. Maze godlam? How severe they are. How impactful they are. Yesh zechut shehi keneged kama avonot. There is one merit that you can do that can outweigh 50 averot. Shine emar yan nimtza bo davar tov. Because God said, I found one good thing, I can change my mind based on that. V'yesh avon shehu keneged kama zechuyot. And there is one transgression that can be more weighty than what? Than 50 averot, 50 mitzvot. Next line. V'ein shoklin ela b'da'ato shel el de'ot. Who determines how weighty a mitzvah or an avera is? Not you and me. It's God's decision. Now he's got his favorites. We could consider a mitzvah, it's a nothing mitzvah. We can consider an avera as a very flagrant one. But HaKadosh Baruch says, that doesn't bother me so much. V'hu hayodeya heich orchin hazichiyot keneged avonot. Only God can make that decision and determine what's more and what's greater. So according to Rambam, how does he interpret the word ki rabba? In this passage, za'akat sodom amar ki rabba. Not necessarily based on what? That the people of Sodom as a nation as a whole did more averot than mitzvot. That's not it. It's just in my calculations, they've done more averot, even though the numbers don't jive up. They could be doing more mitzvot than averot. But the couple of averot that they chose to engage in, to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are more serious, and that's how I make my decision. Now, what problem did the Rambam avoid by making this declaration? Something that troubles all of us. It's a very famous frame. Correct. Russia v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ralo. If God operates based on a numbers basis, we see lots of righteous people who suffer. Who suffer. And we see lots of Al Capones who are living a life of riling. So Rambam tells you, because we choose to determine whether you're a tzaddik or rasha based on our understanding of the number of mitzvot. So this Al Capone, who lived a long life and lived had enormous riches, he must have done a couple of mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I like those mitzvot that Al and his gang did. I like them. And sometimes a guy who appears to us as a tzaddik, who engages in lots of suffering, it's because he must have done something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he did 10,000 mitzvot, but he did one or two averot that bother me, disturb me to no end. So therefore, there is no way for us to determine tzaddik and a rasha, so don't ask questions why tzaddik v'ralo. As nishin goes for tzaddik, right? Yeah.
Did tzaddik's parents or grandparents, does he suffer because of their
avera? I don't want to go into that. I don't believe that anybody suffers because of a parent's. It's something else. It's something else. Even though the pasuk says it, but there's a way to interpret it.
In the book of Iyah, Hashem says it has nothing to do with what he did, why he had suffered. That we just can't understand at all.
That's correct. We can't. So that's how Rambam decides to interpret our pasuk. If you take a look now at page, for a second, I want to show you, Ibn Ezra makes a very fascinating statement. Just a moment. It's on page 4 in the handout. He offers two things that are insightful that nobody else says. Almost everybody except for Ibn Ezra interprets Za'akat Sodom Va'amora as we said before, the reaction of the victims who have been oppressed by the people in Sodom. And God is fond of responding to people who are victims. He's fond of responding to that. Says Ibn Ezra, Za'akat Sodom, on the left-hand side of the page, that's the second thing that he'll say, Za'akat HaChamas. But he starts with, Shedibru Devarim Keneged Hashem. What does that mean? Shedibru Devarim Keneged Hashem. What did they say? Exactly. They spoke to God and say, come on, we're doing whatever we want. Let's see you respond, God. We're in charge. You're not in charge. So, according to Ibn Ezra, the Za'akat Sodom and Amorah is not necessarily the victim, according to his first interpretation. It's specifically what? The perpetrator. It is the perpetrators who are saying, challenging God's rule and authority. You know what? They're screaming out to God, Rabbi Nishon, let's see you do something about us. You can't do anything. So that unnerved HaKadosh Baruch Hu to no end. Oh, the second thing is, there he quotes the standard interpretation. Za'akat HaChamas. Chamas are the people who prey on, it means that those who've been victimized. They were they had items stolen, they were raped, so on and so forth. And various other things. That's pointing out the victim. But in his first suggestion, and that's why he believes is the most primary one, it is so many other nations at that time were just as bad as Sodom and Amorah. What got under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nerves was that they challenged him and said, we're protected. We can do whatever we want.
Was there ever comparison to those in Noah's door? Or once that happened, there was no longer going to be any comparison?
No, I have not seen any. No. Then Ibn Ezra adds, V'chatatam ki kavda, Velo tichilena haaretz. Anybody want to take a stab at it? It's something that the Torah uses only about Eretz Yisrael. Correct. If you open up to the end of Perek Yudchet of Sefer Vayikra. Perek Yudchet of Sefer Vayikra. So what pasuk is this where it says "V'lo taki ha'aretz achem b'tama achem ota"? What pasuk is it? Chafet. Chafet. Perek Yudchet pasuk chafet. It's talking about the entire unit of Perek Chafet, where people engage in inappropriate relationships with a variety of people who you're not permitted to have relationships with. So the Torah says, please avoid this. Why? V'lo taki ha'aretz etchem. Lahaki means to throw up. That's what it means. Haka'ah is you're throwing up. So when you throw up, why does your body have that mechanism? It's a protection. That if you were to go ahead and digest that which you just took, it would be bad for your body. So your body detects it and purges it before it has a chance to settle into your blood. That expression is being used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the impact of people in Eretz Yisrael engaging in certain transgressions. It's not that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have to purge you from the land. The land can't take it. Ein Eretz Yisrael sovelet ovrei avera. The land of Israel itself doesn't tolerate people who are transgressors. Up until now, and throughout our liturgy, that phraseology and imagery is limited only to Eretz Yisrael, and the transgressors are more frequently members of Am Yisrael. Here, Ibn Ezra is telling us that this applies not only to Eretz Yisrael, it applies to Sodom as well. Sodom and Amorah. Velo tichilena. The land cannot what? Contain it any longer. It's impossible. Their faith has been so heinous, so revolting and disgusting in God's eyes, in the land's eyes, that it's as if the land cannot tolerate it any longer. Ibn Ezra applying something of the Torah that the Torah usually limits to the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, now applying it even to people in Sodom. And that's a little unusual, I must say. But I just want to let you know that Ibn Ezra does say this. Yeah. That's point number two. Take a look at page 5 for a minute. And you will notice in your text, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where the phrase reads, Erdona ve'ere, Hatza'akata, the screaming, Haba'a Eli Asu, and then if you look in the Chumash, there is a line between the word Asu and Kala. You see that? Good. You'll find that from time to time in the Torah. It's not in the Torah, excuse me. It's in the Chumash. And it's telling us that when you read the text, you should pause. Now, based on the trup, you do not pause. The sequence of the trup is mercha tipcha munach et nachta. It's haba'a elai asu kala. That's the way to read it. And yet, whoever put these psik lines in the Chumash, and they're part of the Ba'alei Masorah, who have made lots of tinkering with the text itself, they say that you should be careful to say, Haba'a Eli Asu Kala. So let's take a look at the Rashbam, who comments on this. Who comments on this? On page 5, top right hand page. And he notices, Psak Yesh Binatayim. There is a piska, a line, which indicates pause between the two words Asu Kala. Lehafrid et Hadava. Because the intention is to tell you to separate the phrase. So before we see how we separate it, let's read it without the pause. Let's read that phrase. What do I want to do? Erdonavera haksa akasa. Haba'a elai asu kala. Translate that for me. Translate that. Without a pause. And now you'll see the revolutionary way of the Rashbam's reading of the text. Haksa akasa, the screaming, the cries. Haba'a Eli, come to me. Asu kala. What did the screaming do? It destroyed the city. Asu kala. It destroyed the city. It destroyed the inhabitants. It destroyed the victims, the helpless people. That's the simple reading of the text.
Who's the they?
Came Asu,
right?
The Hatzakata, the screaming of the people. I know, but it's you didn't have to say Hatzika Osechem. Hatzakata, this Haba'a Eli Asu Kala. It is the screaming of these people that have destroyed society.
Self-destructive, if I didn't do it, they did it.
Good. So now, how does Rashbam reinterpret? Now let's read. He says, no. Hatzakata Eli Asu. Stop. Hatzakata Eli Asu. Now let's read the Rashbam. Kilomar. Imkain Asu. Ese otam kala. If already what? This screaming has reached me to such a point that what? The people recognize that there is no one to turn to in society to address their grievances. If that has already happened, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu now say? I am going to destroy them. And hence, you put a pause. The simple reading of the text is that the screaming is an indication that the people have already engaged in self-destruction. Not talking about God. The people are self-destructed. Anybody who has been injured has no recourse, no resource to seek vengeance and justice. Cannot. Or compensation. No one pays attention. According to Rashbam, the psik is telling me, stop, take a pause after the word asu. God's judgment and formulation has already taken place. Hatzaga bo'o elai asu. And therefore, what happens? I am going to destroy them. Kala. That's an interesting way of reading it. And that's what Rashbam feels is the way to read it based on the fact that there is a psik after the word asu. Let's take a look at Rashi now in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. On Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It's right there on page 5 if you want to look at it. Or you can go back to your Chumash. So Rashi first comments and says, Erdana ve'ere lamad l'dayanim shelo yifsiku dinei nefashot ela beri'iya. It teaches judges that they should not come to what? Conclusion and final decisions when it deals with life and death matters. Ela beri'iya. What do you think that means? What? Good. It doesn't necessarily mean that you could read it mistakenly and say that the judge, it's talking to the judges. Does a judge actually have to see what's happening? Yeah. Of course not. All you need is witnesses. So, what's the great chidush that I need witnesses? To teach us a very important halacha. And it's a fundamental difference between American law and Jewish law. I'm going to illustrate the case. I have a knife in my hand. I am running after you. So I run, two witnesses see me with the knife running after me. They warn me, Adler, it says Lo Tirzach. If you kill, you're going to be prosecuted in court and executed. So this is bemazed. I'm running after you. You go through the door. The witnesses are looking to run after me to see. And then you turn to the left. I stab you. You're dead. Now the witnesses come out. and they see the blood dripping from my knife, you around the corner on the floor, tell me what happens. In an American court, what will happen to the... You are guilty as charged because circumstantial evidence, and this is weighty circumstantial evidence, is accepted in American court. You go to Benson, Benson will not be able to touch you. Biriyah. They can only convict if they actually saw the crime. There is no accepting in Jewish law of circumstantial evidence. Now, doesn't mean, now according to Torah law, it means I go free. Free. However, the rabbis, of course, said, oh, you know what, just put him in jail and don't give him any food for 2 weeks. He'll die and that'll be it. That's what they do. They put you in kippah, which is jail, and Beis Din takes care of you. But al pidin, they cannot do anything. Because as Rashi emphasizes, that a judge can only operate based on what the Edim have actually witnessed. Not what they surmise think happened. Not what they surmise. No circumstantial evidence allowed in Jewish court. And that's what Rashi emphasizes. Ela bi'iriya. Let's continue with Rashi. Hakol Shema Yishpi Rashi. Rashi says, I explained this to you already in the Dor HaFlaga in Parshat Noach. Davar Acher, says Rashi, Erdana Lisof Ma'asehem. Erdana Lisof Ma'asehem. Haktza'akata Shel Medina Haba'a Elai Asu. Vim omdim bimerdam, kala ani osebahem. Vim lo yamdu bimerdan, eida ma'e eseli hi paramehen bi yisurin, velo achale otan. Rashi says something powerful. What? Bimerdam, in their rebelliousness. So Rashi says, Erdana lisof ma'asehem. Anybody want to take a stab as to what you think Rashi has in mind? And then he says, "Ve'im omdim b'merda." What impression is Rashi generating? That when God goes down the first time, initially, what has He not yet made a firm decision about? Now, I've heard the haktza'akata. I've heard it. But I'm not killing them yet. I'm not destroying them yet. So what do you think God will do when He goes down the first time? What? No. So what's going to happen until He gets to Sof Ma'aseyem? What's going to happen when He first comes down? What's He going to do? He's going to give them a warning. And now I want to see. Now I'm going to continue to stay here in Sdom. I'll spend my night in Motel 6. And we'll leave the light on for you. Rabbi Shalom. Fine. Now I want to see. I sent a little warning. Doesn't say who's going to provide that warning. Perhaps it is the angels, one of the three messengers, whose job was to destroy Sdom. Maybe he first, as a messenger of God, will spread the word. God is now warning you. He's around. He's here. He's looking at you. And He's going to watch your actions over the next days, months, who knows, maybe even a year. And then what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say according to Rashi? According to Rashi. Im omdim haba'a elai su. Im omdim bimerdam. If they stay what? If they continue to operate how? Maze mered. Rebelliousness, they ignore my warning, then kala ani oseh bahem. Now I come to the conclusion that what do? I destroy them. V'im lo yamdu b'merdan. But what happens if for some good fortune they actually don't go ahead and what? and continue these practices. They improve. That doesn't mean that you get off the hook for acting cruelly for the last 50 years just because you changed. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu then? I know how to what? To pay them back for what they did. How? Beyisurin. By suffering. Velo achale otan. And I will what? Not actually destroy them. I will not actually destroy them. And therefore, Rashi points out a line or two later. Forget about his proof. Skip two lines to would say, Ulefikach yesh hefsek nikudat psik. Therefore, there is this line of the psik. Bein asu likala. Kidei lahafrid teva mechaverta. So, why do I have to stop? Because when I come down and I see haktzaakatav habay layasu, I haven't made up my mind yet. I have to see how they continue to behave. If they behave inappropriately going forward, kala, now I destroy them. But if they don't, ani lo aseh kala, I'm not going to destroy them. I will punish them in some other way with yisurin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with us as well in the same fashion. In the same fashion. We pray that it not be, if you remember on Yom Kippur, there's a paragraph that is recited only in the silent Shmon Esrei throughout every tefillah, very end. Elohai. Ad shelo notzarti. Right? Ki lo lo notzarti. Now, ad shelo notzarti eni kedai. The achshav shenotzarti kiilu no notzarti. Offerani bechayoi. Yasser Rosenblatt's famous piece. And then what does it say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I promise shelo echta od umashe chatosi lefan morek berachamecha horabim avolo al yidu yisurim vechalayim raim. We ask. We know that yisurim is a possibility, but we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that it be Yisurin. And sometimes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he substitutes inconveniences. Inconveniences. You're running to catch the bus. And as you get to the door, the door closes on your nose. And you bang on the door and the driver I'm driving away and you start cursing under your breath. What a idiot he is, and worse. What is worse? And what our challenge is to recognize that missing the bus at that second just spared you a terrible headache. A terrible headache. Because it could have been done al yidei yisurin. So part of the rachamanut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rav gave a whole yard section, a whole tshuva drash on this, to explain how it's based on a Gemara. That sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu substitutes for Yisurin inconveniences. You're standing in front of the same bus and there's a big sign, exact change only. Exact change only. And what is exact change? $2, I think it's 50 cents now to get on a bus or a train. Anybody ever been on a bus or a train? We grew up living on buses and trains. It's $4 now, the train? Oh, that's here, okay. I mean in the city. But the buses here, they only have exact change? No. The city buses in the city. So you stick your hands into your pocket, $2.45. Not $2.50. So you have to go to the next candy store and buy a newspaper that you don't want just to get the extra lousy nickel. That's an inconvenience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws our way instead of Yisurin. But fundamentally, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, if they respond, now that is doesn't appear that way in the text of the Chumash. When we all learned this episode 1,500 times, what does it look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down for? For what reason? To destroy. The decision's been made a while ago. Rashi doesn't believe so. Rashi believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now coming down Ve'er'er. Now it actually means Ve'er'er, I'm going to assess the situation going forward. I don't have to come down to check what happened in the past. I know what happened. But I want to watch their behavior up front, directly, and see what happens after I issue a warning. That's a totally different way of learning this particular pasuk. This particular pasuk. So that's what Rashi says. Then Rashi quotes a medrash. The Rabboseinu Darsha Haktza'akata. So, Rachel, you mentioned that Haktza'akata is in the singular, and it happens to be in the feminine. So the Medrash points out the screaming of one young girl. Haktza'akata, says Rashi, Tza'akat Riva Achat. Haktza'aka. Now Rashi is, the Medrash is playing on the word ki rabba. Not that it means much or money, it's ki riva. Riva is a Talmudic expression for a young lad, a young girl, excuse me. Tzakat riva achat shaharguha mita mishuna. The people in stone executed her in a rather harsh, bizarre way, al shenitna mazon le'ani, because she gave some food to a poor person. And that angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu to no end, to no end. And as a result, I'm coming down to take care of these people in stone. Please open up to Shmot.
I believe it's chapter 23.
Do not afflict an orphan or a widow. Im ane ta'ane oto, if you do afflict an orphan or a widow, so what's the common denominator? The people who are what? Defenseless, alone, can't stand up for themselves. Ki im tsa'ok yitz'akelai. If they shall now scream out to me, Shamoa Eshma Tsa'akata, I'm going to hear this Yatom and Almana. I am going to hear them. Same thing is in the next unit, which starts Perek Pasuk Chavdal. Im Kesef Talveh Et Ami. If you shall be nice and generous and lend money to anybody in my nation. Et Ha'ani Imach. Somebody who's poor. Usually those are the people who are borrowing. The Chumash didn't know of the other people of OPM. That you run a business only with other people's money. So even if you're a multi-millionaire, you borrow money. Never use your own money. Chumash thought about the normal world. Rich people don't borrow money. Lo tiyel kenoshe. Don't be what? Don't be a nudnik and ask him for the money back. Lo ti simun olav neshech. Don't put any interest charges on the person. Im chabol tachbol salmat reyecha ad bo hashemesh teshivenu lo. If you're going to take collateral and you take the person's pajamas, what happens? At sunset, make sure you get the pajamas back. Kihi kisuto livada. This is the only garment she or he has. He simlato leoro. That for him, this garment is his leather. It's his blanket. It's everything. Bamei yishkav. How do you expect him or her to go to sleep? V'haya ki yitzak elai v'shomati hichanunani. I hear that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often responding to what? To affliction of people who are taking advantage of. And here Rashi says, that's the praise. Haktza'a erdana ve'ereh, haktza'a kata haba elai, that's coming to me, and ha'asu. If they are wrong, if they are guilty of exactly what this woman is, you know, complaining about, they're treating me, they killed me based on the fact that I gave food to a poor person, kala. I can't tolerate that. Therefore, I'm going to destroy them. So the Medrash interprets the word rabba as riva, a young girl, and the Medrash interprets this according to Rashi, that there's no pause. It's just asuk. If they did it, kala, destroyed. End of discussion. So Rashi offers a variety of suggestions as to how to interpret this pasuk. But what is most unique, according to Rashi, is that God is coming down to offer a second chance, and He will witness their behavior for X number of days or weeks or months to determine how He should react. If they do not mend their ways upon the second opportunity, then kala, destroy them. If they do, I do not destroy, but I don't forget about what took place in the past, and I administer Yisurin instead. All right, stop here. Continue next to Bach. Couple other things that I have to show you next week on this.